All right. This morning, we are taking a moment, and we're speaking to Antonio Panvert from Koskov, Koskov & Beter, the attorneys at law right downstairs. Are you guys downstairs or upstairs, Antonio?
We're downstairs.
You're downstairs. That's right. We're on the seventh floor. What a stupid thing to say. Yes. Okay.
I'm not on the roof, as far as I know.
All right, Antonio. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes and speaking with us here this morning.
You're welcome.
All right. Now, you're involved with a case regarding police brutality that dates back to 2009. Can you talk about that case? Give us any details.
Sure. In 2009 in Stanford, during an Alive at Five concert, there was a confrontation between a Bridgeport police officer named Officer Zach and my client, Brenda Mazariegos. She was trying to park in her assigned parking space at her place of employment downtown. He wouldn't let her in. He became enraged for reasons we don't really understand at this point and ended up punching her in the face, creating a probably lemon-sized hematoma on her forehead and sending her to the hospital, and creating all kinds of problems for her, including continuing mild traumatic brain injury and some other things. So we brought a lawsuit over that. That lawsuit then went on for a number of years. We tried it recently to a hung jury, and then ended up settling the case.
How's the victim doing now?
She's still suffering. She has post-traumatic stress disorder, some continuing neurological issues, but she's courageous as can be, and is optimistic about her future and is trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Now, the police officer in question, does he have a history of previous complaints?
Well, he does. He has a history prior to this this incident. He had been on the receiving end of about four citizen complaints, all brought by women citizens of the city of Stanford, having to do with his abusive and aggressive conduct towards them, all having to do with altercations between him and the citizens in traffic stops and traffic incidents. In all of those complaints, he was verbally abusive. In one case, he opened up the door of a woman's car and leaned across her seven-year-old son and was screaming at her and scared the kid to death. All of those complaints were filed with the Stanford Police Department. They were sustained, meaning that the complainants were found to have been credible in telling the truth. And Officer Zach received some mild discipline at the time.
All right, we're talking with Antonio Panvert. He's with Koskov, Koskov & Beter, attorneys at law. And I'm just picking his brain a little bit here this morning. Now, what was the city and police department's response to your incident, and how did they deal with the officer?
The response at the time of the incident was pretty good, actually. The Internal Affairs Investigation Division of the Stanford Police Department took statements from witnesses, from the complainants. They sent investigators out. They investigated Zach's prior behavior and interviewed him as well. And they did end up imposing, within the context of police discipline, a fairly substantial penalty. So he was at desk duty for a fairly long period of time. He was on leave of absence during the investigation. The problem, as I see it, though, is that he did not receive any meaningful remedial training. The punishment, such as it was inadequate, in my view. A lot of people might prefer to be sitting at a desk than walking a beat. It's the same pay. It's a much less dangerous and taxing day-to-day job. So there's real questions, I think, about whether the discipline was adequate. But they did investigate, and there was a finding, and they sustaining my plaintiff's complaint, And the chief of police was quoted in, I think it was the Sanford Advocate, as saying that they did find that, that the officer used excessive force. So that, that, as far as police cases go, is pretty unusual, to have an investigation that, that, seemed to be honest and forthright, and that reached the conclusion that, in fact, excessive force was used.
Okay, and now, if I heard you right, the trial in your client's case, that was a hung jury.
That's right. We went to trial a few months ago. We got a hung jury. The jury came back in favor of the officer on a number of different counts, but were not able to reach a verdict on the civil rights, the federal civil rights claims, and was not able to reach a conclusion on whether excessive force was used. So there was a hung jury on that, meaning we had to come back and we were going to try the case again. And on the eve of that second trial, we were able to reach an agreement with the city and settle the case.
Okay, so the case is settled. Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay. Now we've heard a number of similar cases around Connecticut in the past few years. Have you and your clients noticed any change to suggest that the police force conduct is improving? And have you heard about new training protocols in place?
The answer to the last question is no, I have not heard of new training. I wouldn't necessarily hear of new training if there was any, but I don't see any evidence that there is. I think that what's happening in Connecticut, I think the Beardsley Park incident is a good example, when the Bridgeport police officers were seen on videotape really severely beating somebody without justification of any kind, and similar incidents like that. I think it's indicative of what's happening nationally, which is that although most departments most of the time are trying to do the right thing, and most officers in most departments, I think, are brave, courageous, excellent police officers who do their job, there is some element within the police force in virtually every major department that are just rogue officers who decide that they don't want to follow the rules and don't want to follow the law and are perfectly comfortable inflicting pain and violating the constitutional rights of citizens. And, you know, you ask a good question, you know, is there a trend here? I think the trend might be that what's been going on for a very long time is now becoming more apparent because of cell phones and videos and the ability to record incidents that otherwise would have been swept under the rug. Mm. You know, what's the thing about police departments is, just like in any profession, you know, there's going to be good employees and there's going to be bad employees. Except that police officers are armed, and they can use deadly force under the law, and they possess an immense amount of authority and power. And if you or I in our jobs decided to go up to somebody and punch them in the face, we'd be fired. It'd be as simple as that. But that's not true in police departments, and it's not true because in some cases they're unionized and the unions are very powerful. And it's not true in some cases because I think the departments and I think the public has come to accept a certain level of abuse of power as a part of what it is to be a law enforcement officer. So I think until that changes, until that perception changes, both inside and outside the departments, we're going to continue to see these kinds of incidents, and it's very unfortunate.
All right. Anthony Ponvert, we've run out of time. How about a website for Koskoff?
Thank you. It's Koskoff, KOSKOFF.com. And on there is a whole bunch of information about other excessive force cases and civil rights cases. And I appreciate your time today. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Antonio. Very informative, and keep up the good work. Thanks, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Coming up on 958 WACC 600.